Hello, I'm Keith Perron, and welcome to the best of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. Now, on our series, The Best of Media Network Plus, we also have some news stories, one of which we'll have at the end of the program. But first, this edition of the program was originally broadcast November the 19th, 2011. And you're listening to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio, heard on the World Radio Network, Sirius XM in North America, Sky Digital in Europe, and on great partner stations everywhere. I should also mention that we're also relayed on shortwave to the Americas on 9,955 kilohertz. You can contact us for more details. The owners of Channel 9 in Australia were meeting bankers this week to ask for more time to pay off debts of more than $2.7 billion. Analysts predict they'll get short shift, which means the company is one step closer to a crisis not seen since the days when entrepreneur Alan Bond took 9 to the brink of financial ruin. Peter Lloyd of ABC Radio has the details.
Channel 9 offers a lot of sizzle.
2011, the most exciting new shows, biggest laughs.
But the business is in trouble. Debts total $3.66 billion. Deja vu? Think back to the early 90s, says shareholder activist Stephen Mayne.
Yeah, in the early 1990s, all three networks were owned by the banks, and then obviously, ultimately, Channel 7 was floated by the banks, and then Kerry Stokes did a share market raid and got control. Channel 9 was bought back by Kerry Packer, who paid in the end something around sort of $800 to $900 million to buy back Channel 9 from the banks. And equally, Channel 10, Malcolm Turnbull was the advisor. It was bought by the Canadians, Izzy Asper, in 1992, and then ultimately floated, and he made more than $1 billion on that investment. So these things come and go, and ultimately they're profitable businesses. So sometimes the owners get into trouble because they borrow too much money.
That, in hindsight, seems to be the problem besetting Channel 9. A few weeks ago, the rival media owner Channel 7's Kerry Stokes was predicting that within a year, the business would be owned by the banks. Media analyst Roger Coleman from CCZ Equities says there's simply been too many lean years in the business cycle for the owners of Nine, CVC Entertainment Group.
It's essentially CVC's got to cop it. There's no other way out other than to refloat and re-gear it bare without being able to bludge off anybody else's balance sheet.
Nine's looking to get the lenders to give it more time to pay off debt today. Is that likely to happen?
Well, no. It's 2013 is debt due date, but you'll normally try and get things done beforehand. Now, with the increasing economic uncertainty, you want to bed things down pretty fast. Now, if you look at the mechanics of Nine, it earned last year $415 million EBITDA, supporting $3.6 billion worth of debt. They've got one, what you call, unrelated asset they can still sell, Ticketek, and a very small Acer Arena one in Sydney. But 9MSN is central to the group, so you just can't separate that. So the magazine, the portal, and the television stations essentially have to stay together, right? Now the bankers have got to work out what the value is if they try and float it in the market, which is one choice. And on our assessment, using an interest cover of 4x, they are going to get no equity back, and the lenders have to take a 10% haircut.
So did Nine's backers pay too much at the outset, or are they just badly managed?
No, 2006 was a good year. 2007 left over a good year. Then we had the GFC. We've had a one-year recovery, and since then, media stocks have headed south.
In general, the media business is suffering lately. Revenues are weak, the internet is gobbling up ads, content and customers. Stephen Mayne again.
Fairfax shares have fallen from more than $5 to less than $1 because the value of their newspapers has gone through the floor. News Limited is trying to cut 15 to 20% from its cost base on newspapers in Australia. So anything which is printed around the world has been smashed by the internet as advertising moves online and circulation and sales fall. But clearly there's just too much debt sitting on PBL Media's books. So CVC, the private equity owners, probably will lose control. Banks will take over and they may try and float the business, break it up, sell it off to try and recover as much of their $3.7 billion in debt as possible.
And that report was from Peter Lloyd of ABC Radio. You're listening to Media Network Plus. A few weeks ago, we told you about a small campus community radio station located at McGill University in Montreal, Canada, that was taking part in a referendum that could have seen the station's demise. Well, the good news is, of the 5,245 students that took part in the referendum at McGill, 3,729, or 72.3%, voted to support CKUT. CKUT is a unique station that offers a wide variety of programming, almost any music form you can imagine. A wide selection of social issues like gay and lesbian rights, women, and the poor are all covered. Louise Burns, who's been at CKUT for many years, now joins us for a look at this very special radio station.
you are listening to... See... CKUT in Montreal.
Oh, I don't want to be like Joe.
I tell the Montreal and some of it on a Thursday afternoon. It's all about the conscious vice. It's on the positive vice show. I also take time to pick up Jessica. Don't import more for sure. Now watch no fierce girl. Bless up yourself, y'all.
Oh, can keep my satisfaction.
Keep my satisfaction.
Fill my home.
Man like Earl in Montego Bay. We got my family, me in Portland.
Ja, hello.
I'm a Portland 20 friend, them.
Nice.
Inside of Montreal and outside of Montreal.
Fill
my Kingstonian friend.
Oh.
All over the world.
Oh, 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 oh.
C'est passé. My brother Asian youth say, boy, I'm going to big up him, you know. Say, boy, I'm going to take time out and big up Asian friends.
Yes, bro.
Down in the East End.
Fight. And he leads you way all day. Oh, how I hate
all my Caribbean island people not to go and big up themselves, y'all.
Well, the beginnings of this radio station are a bit of a mystery because its history actually goes at first to a club. And previous to that, I think it was just, we heard word that it actually broadcast for a couple of hours in an evening on a commercial AM station for a period of time, CKGM. And we discovered in our loft the 16-inch glass, I forget what they're called, those recordings?
Where transcription the needle, discs?
Yeah, and that goes back to 1940. So, but... In terms of the license, we have the CRTC, the Canadian Radio Television Commission, that gives licenses. And there's public radio, such as the CBC. There's commercial radio, which everybody's familiar with. There is community radio, which is often multilingual. Often programming is brokered or there, whereby people are actually purchasing airtime. And then there is campus community radio stations, which is what CKUT is. It's kind of unique in Canada. There is three currently. One, our francophone side of things, connected to Université de Montréal. And then also now Concordia has their own station, CJLO.
Now, with CKUT, what is the relationship with McGill University? Do you operate separately under McGill University, or are you part of the greater university itself as a member of, say, a department?
We are independently incorporated. We're considered an independent student group. Our board has representation of the administration, McGill faculty, a non-academic staff, and the student society, both undergrad and postgrad. So the board is sort of like also comprised of staff and community members. So it's sort of the interest holders in the organization. But the administration per se does not have any kind of editorial or content or managerial participation. Most of our funds are from students and not from the administration per se, so we're more trying to be accountable and inclusive of them.
Now, like other community and campus community radio stations, the vast majority of the programming and just everyday things that are done at the radio station, either filing stuff in the library or contacting community groups, is all done by volunteers. Is CKUT, like, for example, in the United States, at campus community radio stations, the vast majority of volunteers are students. Is that the same case, let's say, at CKUT or at the similar equivalent type stations in Canada?
At CKUT, it's a mixture of both community and student participation. We don't differentiate. We have regular orientations, and we put the word out, and whomever has got that passion, that bug for radio, comes through the door. And those that also have the ideas and the stick-with-it-ness to pull them off are the ones that become our volunteer members. And they're a mixture of both students and community.
Now, about 20 years ago, I was doing some volunteer work at CKUT. And one of the things that I remember the most was, first of all, CKUT has a very clear and strong signal inside Montreal, but it also reaches to the Canada-US border. The second thing that I remember is that CKUT, for a campus community radio station, has a lot of respect within Montreal. And I mean, it's made it to the best of list a few times in the Montreal Mirror. And also, there's been a number of personalities from CKUT that ended up going to the CBC and TV stations in Canada, as well as overseas. That must be, when you look at that, you must think, wow, it's amazing how we're so small, but we can do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very proud of our connections to Montreal in terms of all the grassroots initiatives and local music. And we really tried to be there at the beginnings and at the ground level for these and watch their growth. Growth is very much what the station's all about, not in terms of the station actually becoming quote-unquote bigger. Our budget is not huge. Our membership remains the same. The strength of our signal remains the same. But in the sense of growth, in terms of like having people come in, be inspired, learn a whole lot, and go on to do wonderful things, which really does happen. And also in terms of our partnerships with the festivals or the different initiatives in the city, we try and help them. The smaller ones or the beginning level, we try and help them grow as well.
Well, I decided to sit down and write a little something. But I said, geez, I haven't seen my friend in such a long time. Then I said, oh, you know what? You should listen to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. And then you wouldn't miss me so much.
Good morning and welcome to the International Radio Report here on CKUT 90.3 FM. The International Radio Report is a show about radio around Montreal and around the world. You can write the International Radio Report at radioreport@yahoo.com. Check us out live or archived on the web at www.ckut.ca and on Facebook.
Here till 11 o'clock, as usual, on CKUT 90.3 FM, www.ckut.ca, of course. Bunch of new music. Well, a little bit of new music, some long tracks to throw at you for this morning. And apart from that, just some music, some great music, as usual, right here on Jazz Muck. Hope you can stick around. We're going to start things off for this November 11th with a piece entitled Peace, P-E-A-C-E, from the album The Shape of Jazz to Come. Ornette Coleman, Don Cherry, Charlie Hayden, and Billy Higgins on right here on Jazz Muck.
Now, if somebody is not familiar with CKUT and asked you the question, what can I hear? How would you answer that?
Well, there's a lot you can hear at the station. I think the most important thing for people to understand is that there isn't any playlists. So each individual host is programming the content of their show. And it's in blocks. So if it's a reggae show, you're going to have people who are very connected to that musical scene and, you know, speak to that and have that musical knowledge. If it is a bluegrass show, it would be the same. So we have a lot of, like, people who are pocketed experts in different genres of music. And in terms of the spoken word and news, we call our news community news because we're not trying to regurgitate the headlines and chase stories that mainstream media does. We don't have the capacity. So what we do is we go down into the neighborhoods and try and talk about what is happening in the world from their perspective and get very much about the grassroots initiative and try and get people on the air who you don't hear otherwise.
So in other words, you would report on stories and events that, let's say, the mainstream media either they don't know about or they wouldn't go near because it doesn't fit in with what they do.
Well, we're not in competition for ratings, so we don't have to chase the, you know, the headline of the day like other stations do. So we, for example, Occupy Montreal, which is going on right now, may be covered in mainstream media. We went and broadcast live from there. So in fact, our content was part of the initiative in a way. We sort of are not only reporting, we're actually actively participating.
You know, one thing that stuck out in my mind recently when I was listening to a show that I listen to on a regular basis called the International Radio Report, Sheldon Harvey said on the air, CKUT is a radio station where you hear real people on the air. Is that a good representation?
I would say that's absolutely a good representation. I was having that same conversation with Pat Dillon, who you might remember, who does a show on Sundays now. And we said that I think one of the things that we provide is a lot of honesty. You hear scripted spontaneity, which is, to me, you know, a contradiction on many other radio stations. But you don't hear that here. You know, people are definitely talking from the heart here. And they are also trying to get the voices of people who are authentic to whatever they are covering. You know, they're involved. They're not, we're not politicians, and we're not broadcasters per se. We don't have that kind of professionalism, perhaps, that, you know, can report on subject to subject to subject. But we have a sound of being involved, which I think is really important.
Hello, because of certain circumstances which will be explained shortly, we are interrupting the Prison Radio Show for a special broadcast. Aaron Lakoff is in the studio right now. Hello, Aaron, and maybe you can explain to our listeners what's going on.
Sure. I'm just wiping the tear gas out of my eyes right now. I just got back from the corner of University and Milton, so very close to CKUT Radio here, where, as I was explaining on the air earlier, there had been a demonstration. Well, there was a large demonstration today in Montreal in the streets, estimations around 30,000 people out to protest the proposed tuition hikes from the Charest government. Immediately following the demonstration, a group of about 15 or so students, McGill students, went to occupy an office in the James Administration Building at McGill, basically to protest the fact that Heather Monroe Blum, who's the principal of McGill, has been one of the most ardent supporters of the tuition hikes that are about to come in. So there's quite a lot.
Do you wake up and say to yourself, I can't believe that I'm involved in this. I can't believe that I'm involved in a radio station that means so much to so many people. People, let's say, that are not talked about or do not have access to mainstream media. To think that you're involved in an organization that really does make a difference in many people's lives.
Well, on a personal note, I actually don't think about it that way. I more think about it on a personal note, I more think about it how I'm really privileged to be able to, you know, work in production on a radio spot or an ID that is crazy and creative. So it lets me play that way. I think about how I'm going to meet like such a diverse cast of characters that come through the station that are all, you know, from different communities that I would never meet. That diversity is to me the most special thing. And that it's a place where people are coming to it because they have ideas that they want to express, things that they want to promote, stuff going on. And so to be able to be in a place that is the receptor of all that energy is it's a very lively, diverse, fun, underground-ish, you know, that word underground doesn't always characterize what we want to say, but it is pretty unique that way. I suppose, you know, the greater good of all these people is secondary when you talk about it personally. Mostly I think about how much fun I'm having.
Louise Burns, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Keith.
And I was speaking there with Louise Burns from CKUT. If you want to listen to them and you're going to be in Montreal, you can find them at 90.3 on the FM dial. And, of course, if you're not going to be, don't worry, because like many radio stations around the world, they're on the Internet. Just go to www.ckut.ca. That's www.ckut.ca. We now go to the Pacific nation of Vanuatu. The new chief executive of Vanuatu's Broadcasting and Television Corporation says winning back the public's trust in the state broadcaster has been a challenge. Last year, the Vanuatu government appointed a new board and a task force to urgently reform the state broadcaster. Francis Herman has been in the top job for about 8 months, and he told NTT what was the first on his long list of things to do.
Remove the regulatory functions from the National Broadcasting Service. And that was successfully done a couple of months ago when Parliament passed the bill to transfer the regulatory functions to the telecom regulator. So it means that VBTC is no longer a player and referee, we're now just a player. So it makes it fair for everyone. Secondly, I think we were what we call hemorrhaging big time, bleeding profusely financially. So we've been working on a program to plug the leaks. And we think 7 months down the track, we've been able to plug the leaks. So we've stopped the boat from sinking right now. And what we're trying to do now is to refloat the boat and head it in a direction that will be able to service the people of Vanuatu a lot better. The third thing was to recruit appropriate staff. So we set ourselves out, because the previous government and the previous management and board made everyone redundant, and then after paying them all back, re-employed them on the same terms and conditions. So we're saying, that's not right. So we put everyone off, and we advertise every position. So we're saying everyone must come through the front door. All the 48 staff we have on board now came in on merit. And of the 48 staff, 52% are women, and 63% of our total staff complement have never worked for VBTC before and are practically new to the industry. And the reason we did that was the only way to change the work culture was to change the people.
What do you think was one of the biggest challenges coming into this position?
Apart from the financials and the technical infrastructure, VBTC had lost touch with the people. we no longer had the hearts and the minds of the New Vanuatus. We became irrelevant. And while government was pumping funds in, donor agencies were pumping funds into VBTC, we were not important to a lot of the people in Vanuatu because we had lost sight of our vision. So the biggest challenge for us, apart from the financials and infrastructure, was to win back the hearts and minds of the people, and that's what we're doing.
Challenges also, do you think, with trying to get coverage across all the many parts of Vanuatu?
Yeah, we have the shortwave, the medium wave, and the FM for radio. And the shortwave is only working during the daytime. We lose people after 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So the medium wave is only heard in Port Vila, which we should have shut down and just run the FM. It's cheaper because same coverage area. And all the islands, 70% of the population couldn't even hear us. They listen to New Zealand, they listen to Australia, they listen to Fiji, and they listen to the Solomon Islands. But they couldn't hear their own station, so we became irrelevant. We were known as Radio Kolta, Kolta being bitumen. So we could only be heard where there was bitumen roads. And it's sad. When our people feel that way. And television could only be heard in the two capital cities. It could be seen only in Port Vila and in Luganville. So 80-90% of the country couldn't even receive the national television service. That's changed. We're on the platform, satellite platform now, so we can be picked up everywhere in the islands, provided they have a set-top box. We've opened up a television service in Tana, Ishangil in Tana, which accounts for about 6,000 people. We're going to expand that into White Sands soon. We've opened up in Malekula. We're opening up in Big Bay in Santo. So television now covers a little bit more. And as we get more money, we will expand that service.
And I guess also a couple of years ago, PAM obviously hit some of the infrastructure. How are you coping with that too?
You know, PAM hit us almost more than 3 years ago. And VBTC has never repaired itself after PAM for some unknown reason. Yet there was a lot of funding available to the VBTC at the time. We've now put in applications for funding under the Cyclone PAM Rehabilitation Fund. Better late than never. Most of the funds been spent. But whatever little we can get, we'll try and restore the television and radio service.
And that's all we have time for on this edition of Media Network Plus. If you wish to contact us to let us know what you think of the program or have any suggestions or ideas, our email address is very simple. It's pcjmedia@gmail.com. So until next time, friends, we'll see you again very soon. 73 and 88 to the ladies.